The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Well, it is a Thursday, and unfortunately, I don't have any good news to share with you when it comes to what's happening in Ukraine. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, no matter how you look at it. So I was actually a little concerned earlier today because until less than an hour ago, I believe, I had not heard from Tatiana since before the show yesterday. And it worries me. For those of you who are just tuning in who don't know who Tatiana is, I made contact with this remarkable woman in Kyiv. She and her husband own a hostel, a low-priced hotel in the center of Kyiv. In fact, in all the reviews, hers, called Friends Forever Hostel, is the top-rated hostel in the city of Kyiv. And I think the day after or 2 days after Putin invaded, I called. I called earlier in the day because when I'm on the air, it's very late at night there. And just to see if I could get somebody, and she answered the phone, and we had a brief but emotional conversation. And we have kept in contact using the Telegram app, which she asked me to do on the phone. So each day, some days we spend a lot of time texting back and forth. And then there are days like today. Yesterday, I shared with you our exchanges. And the last one was an hour or so before we went on the air. And it's when she said her last post was, as my cousin who took her daughter to Poland for 4.5 days said, although I don't hear explosions and rockets over my head, I feel pain and fear for all the people of Ukraine. Mankind has never united as much as now, thanks to the technological development, information exchange, true information. And then she said, together, we are all people of one world. If you know what they write to me, not many people from Russia, people in fear and horror, half the planet is crying. And indeed, it is. And in fact, I responded this morning because, almost a little before 9 o'clock, I said, the planet is indeed crying. This is just so awful. I don't know how the world can just sit back and watch what's being done in your country. How are you holding up? And I heard nothing. I heard nothing to the point where at 2:30, I had found this photograph that I'm about to show you. It's for those of you not seeing the video stream, this was a street painting in Cardiff in the UK. And it's a beautifully painted eyeball. It looks like it's on the sort of like a garage door of a storefront. You know how they have the pull down shutters? It's surrounded by graffiti, but it is a beautiful eye, blue on the top, yellow below, which are the colors of the Ukrainian flag, with a tear coming out of it. And I think it's just such a perfect example of what we're feeling right now. So I sent that to her at 2:25 this afternoon. At 3:03, still having not heard anything from her, I wrote, I'm getting worried, as it appears you haven't seen my two messages sent today. Please just let me know you are okay. The way I know she's seen it is when I send something, when it goes through, there's one check mark. When she sees it, a second check mark appears. So I know she's seen it and she hadn't even seen them. And then at 4:34, less than a half hour before airtime, I heard the ding. It's like, oh, she responded. And she wrote, my good friend, we are fine. Sometimes I just can't pick up the phone anymore. I lack morale. I watch the news for hours. I understand that there is an offensive 15 kilometers from Kyiv out of Belarus. It hurts so much. A lot of people, she writes, my people can't leave the city. These are my hostel administrators, my cleaning assistant, the guests who stayed in the hostel because they don't have personal transport. They are hostages. I cry. Russian vile soldiers create horror, kill civilians, old people who could not or did not want to leave the house. They kill for food. This is heartbreaking. And then she wrote, it's monstrous. Every time I talk to them, my people, they thank me for everything and say, I hope we meet again. It happens every time. I am torn apart by these words. And I know, I mean, my heart is just breaking for her and for all these people. We see the footage and, you know, I'm torn. On the one hand, I'm glad that everybody has a camera now, and these images are being shown to the world. On the other hand, as I was saying yesterday, I'm really torn. I don't understand how the world can sit here and watch him bomb a maternity hospital and, you know, and not hit back. That is a war crime, bombing a maternity hospital. And three people were killed. I'm surprised it wasn't more than that. Three were killed, and quite a few more were injured. President Zelensky took to the airwaves again. My goodness, is this man remarkable? He's so impressive, and you know, I just hope he and his family are okay. Anyway, he did a long address to the Ukrainian people, but also to the Russian people, in the hopes that this message will get to them. Obviously, I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's long, but here's a short clip from it talking about the Russians bombing that children's hospital. And you'll hear the voice of the interpreter speaking over President Zelensky.
A children's hospital, a maternity hospital. What did they threaten the Russian Federation with? What kind of country is this? The Russian Federation, which is afraid of hospitals and maternity hospitals and destroys them. Were there little banderovitsy? Or were there pregnant women going to fire at Rostov? Did someone in the maternity hospital abuse Russian speakers? What was that? What was that?
Was it
the denazification of the hospital?
Yeah. The denazification of the hospital. Nonsense. The lies they're telling. This is so reminiscent of Trump. It's their game plan. It's their, you know, roadmap to get what you want. Just lie about everything. Lie about everything. And that they do. I recorded an interview earlier today that's going to run next week, Tuesday or Wednesday. And it's with a woman who, her day job is, she is a New York Times reporter. But she wrote this book. It's called Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy and the Battle for Truth. Sorry, the book is on the floor there, so I wanted to make sure I got the title right. An American Tragedy and the Battle for Truth. And what it's about is not the horror show that happened that day. 10 years ago, this coming December, do you believe it's been 10 years? 10 years since 20 babies were gunned down in their first grade classroom, and six of the adults who tried to protect them were murdered by a crazy kid who never should have been allowed anywhere near a gun. 10 years and nothing's been done. Well, it's been 2 weeks that we've been watching this madman out of Russia, as I said yesterday, short with obviously a very, very tiny, weeny, teeny, peeny. Just call him Dickless Putin. You know, that's probably very accurate. And I'm sorry he's got no dick, but you don't fix that by bombing the oblivion out of a country. So anyway, it's been now 2 weeks since he's opened war on the people in this country who've not done anything to him, lied about why they're invading, and then you've got all the gullible foot soldiers who then echo back the bullshit. As what did he used to say, George W. Bush? You got to propel the you got to catapult the propaganda. You got to repeat things for the propaganda to set in. They know what they're doing. The lies, and that takes a particular talent, doesn't it? You can tell that I'm lying when I lie. I'm not a very good liar. But I think because I feel guilty if I'm lying. So I tend to give myself up. But these people lie with such impunity, just lie for the hell of it. Because I really think it's about confusing the narrative. So anyway, I recorded this interview with Elizabeth Williamson is her name. And we were talking about it. And the sickness, think about the psychosis of the people who do this, the Donald Trumps of the world, who lie as easily as they breathe. So, you know, I don't play much audio from the former guy. I try to not deal with him as much as possible. Or, no, that's a double negative. To deal with him as little as possible. But every now and then, you have to be reminded of the shit that this man says. And you look at the people around him, from Jim Jordan to Madison Cawthorn to Vladimir Putin, and they all have some things in common. They don't care about the truth. They, you know, they err on the side of falsehoods. Let's make shit up. You know, and it's, this is a strategy that's been going on for how long? For certainly longer than Fox has been on the air. And Fox has been on the air for a good 20-something years, right?
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
And yet we stand back, and because I guess we perceive there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we could have done about Trump's lies? Well, try something. You know, how about calling out the lies? And I know it's not going to go anywhere, but introduce anti-lying legislation that you can't go on the floor of the Senate and lie. Who was it? I think it was John Kyle, former senator from Arizona. If I remember correctly, I was trying to think of his name earlier and I couldn't, and it just popped into my head. And he said something blatantly false on the Senate floor. As a matter of fact, blatantly false. Now I got to find out what it was. I can't remember. My, you know, long-term loss of short-term memory or something like that. But I'm going to find it, because John Kyle, hold on. John, he lied, made a blatant lie in a floor speech. It wasn't even a contemporaneous comment. It was a floor speech on the Senate floor. And his spokesperson, when confronted by a reporter, said, well, that wasn't intended to be a factual statement. But he said it on the Senate floor. Here it is. I pulled it up. It's from 2011, so we're going back 11 years. From the Atlantic, let me just read to you how this came about. Senator John Kyle's staff previously explained away his false claim that 90% of Planned Parenthood services are abortions. That's what he said on the Senate floor. John Kyle, U.S. Senator from Arizona, on the Senate floor, in a speech, claimed that 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion. And that, my friends, you know, is plain
bullshit.
It's just not true. So, this is just incredible. Abortions account for 3% of Planned Parenthood services. When CNN asked Kyle's office about the comments, his staff relayed this message, quote, "His remark was not intended to be a factual statement, but rather to illustrate that Planned Parenthood, an organization that receives millions of dollars in taxpayer funding, does subsidize abortions. So that makes it okay for him to lie to the extent of where abortions count for 3% of Planned Parenthood services. This U.S. senator on that hallowed floor stated, as if reciting a fact, stated that 90% of what Planned Parenthood services are abortions. It's just not true. And there should be a law. And the fact that his office said, well, that wasn't intended to be a factual statement. Really? How about we say it is illegal for any member of Congress, any elected office holder, to get on that official ground and lie, and knowingly lie, and do it for propaganda purposes? How about we start there? So Donald Trump, you know, these days he holds court at Mar-a-Lago, and I guess he'll talk to anybody who's, you know, who sits on his side of the political aisle. I can only imagine. If I, you know, tried to just book an interview with Donald Trump, I don't think it would happen, right? Yeah, I don't think he'd talk to me. But he sat with, I don't know, some kid, I don't know who this kid is, who set up, and of course, all the interviews are done in the Mar-a-Lago lobby, so all the guests can see. By the way, that little ding you're hearing, those are messages from Tatiana. I think what she has to say is more important than anything I could say. Here's what she just wrote. She said, my family and I thank everyone and believe in the power of good thought. Today, for some reason, I promised my aunt that in 3 months we will meet at her place at this time. The cherry will ripen. And then she posted 3 crying emojis. My heart breaks for this woman. And we have promised that we will meet in person at some point. This has got to stop. So anyway, I heard the ding from Tatiana, and so I just wanted to see what she said, but that's what she said. Back to Trump. I'd rather hear from Tatiana than talk about Trump. But you need to hear what he's doing now. So he sits for this podcast interview, and this clip is released. And I'm going to play it for you because we've talked about opposite world a million, you know, constantly on this show, right? How the other side has no conception of reality. They just will not look at the grass and say that's green and the sky is blue. They just won't. They live in their own world. Look, I was shocked some years ago to learn that there are indeed members of the Flat Earth Society. Today, they believe the Earth is flat. These are the same geniuses who's like, the vaccine will give you autism and you can take hydroxychloroquine to cure COVID. You know, there are experts. There are people who went to years and years worth of school to know how to research this stuff to hopefully find cures for everything. Can they find a cure for lying? Anyway, so Trump does this interview with some podcaster at Mar-a-Lago. And, well, here's a little bit of it. And yes, I will chime in because he's fucking insane.
It would have never happened. And we did talk about it. I mean, he definitely.
Okay. So obviously he's talking about the attack, the war that Putin would not have invaded, right, Ukraine if he were still in office. He's going, we talked about it.
Definitely wanted Ukraine, loved Ukraine, would never have happened.
What do you see happening next then? Because it seems like the tensions are high. How does this all end?
How does it end?
A long-term thing? How do you see it unfolding?
Well, I said this a long time ago. If this happens, we are playing right into their hands, green energy.
What?
The windmills, they don't work. They're too expensive. They kill all the birds. They ruin your landscapes. And yet the environmentalists love the windmills.
He asked about how is this war going to end? And Donald Trump goes off about the windmills? What?
I've been preaching this for years. The windmills. And I had them way down. But the windmills are the most expensive energy you can have. And they don't work. And by the way, they last a period of 10 years. And by the time they start rusting and rotting all over the place, nobody ever takes them down. They just go on to the next piece of prairie or land and destroy that.
Bullshit.
It's incredible that they want but other forms of green energy. They don't have...
Okay, sorry. I couldn't. I just couldn't. So you heard. The man is fucking delusional. And yet... He keeps on, he takes a licking and keeps on ticking. The licking, by the way, comes from Jim Jordan, apparently. I don't know if you saw this, but so Jim Jordan, who, why is he still in Congress? Why is he not being investigated for witnessing an assault on a minor in a wrestling gym locker room by a coach? Not say anything? That Jim Jordan, GYM Jordan. Yeah, so Jim Jordan yesterday... made a tweet, and his tweet simply said, Trump. And I thought that was kind of odd. Well, I'm not the only one. So I saw the tweet, and I thought, Trump, well, I guess that's his, you know, that's the answer. So I need to respond in the form of a question. So I tweeted, I retweeted Jim Jordan's Trump, and over it wrote, who is the biggest con man this nation has ever known? Jim Jordan says, Trump. Who is Trump? And I guess I touched a nerve or something because that tweet is still getting tons of likes and retweets and stuff. And then this morning, somebody notified me that that I'm in the Huffington Post. Oh, I'm sorry. It's HuffPost now. It's now just simply called HuffPost, no longer Huffington. It's just HuffPost. But HuffPost did a, has a, hold on. I'm just trying to get this window so that it's viewable on the stream. Well, okay. So Huffington, HuffPost, sorry, did this story and the headline reads, Rep Jim Jordan roasted over toadying Trump message on Twitter. And you scroll down, it says Rep. Jim Jordan, R. Ohio, tweeted a single word on Wednesday, and he received plenty more back in response. The Ohio lawmaker and staunch loyalist to the former guy simply tweeted, Trump. There you see it right there. It says Twitter users quickly turned the post into a game akin to Jeopardy, where if Trump is the answer, they supplied the questions. And the first one, right there. From yours truly, Nicole Sandler, who is the biggest con man this nation has ever known? Trump! Yeah, you know, take pleasure out of small, little things make me happy these days. But yeah, so new Twitter followers, welcome aboard. Glad to have you here. You know, when we're on the subject of the lies, you know, some of them just can't help themselves. So there was a, you know, a Republican conference presser yesterday, and Steve Scalise, who's always been reprehensible, you know, he's the guy who at that congressional softball practice was shot. A lot of them were shot at. He's the one who was hit, and he suffered a pretty serious injury to his leg. And that's tragic. The thing is, that was a lone crazy person, and against the odds that usually they're crazy right wingers, this was a crazy left winger. But note, not one single Democrat said stood up for him. Not one single progressive said, "Oh, he's our guy. He didn't do anything wrong." No, they rightfully so. Castigated him, said this man is sick. You know, he does not, that we're not behind that. We had nothing to do with it. The Democrats were not involved, but the Republicans try to, you know, liken everything, try to, do the whataboutism thing. Well, what about this? Your guy shot up the congressional. No, he wasn't our guy. He was a guy who, yeah, happens to, you know, be more, his political proclivities are on the left instead of the right doesn't make him one of us. See, we don't embrace those people like the Republicans do. So anyway, Steve Scalise gets up and he's doing a press conference and he just, you know, they just can't stop the lying. Listen to this.
Given where we are right now, what rethinking have you done on President Trump's withholding of military aid to Zelensky?
What rethinking have you done on Trump's withholding military aid to Zelensky in Ukraine?
And would you have done anything different in 2019 if you had known, you know, the importance of Zelensky in Ukraine in this moment today?
Well, first of all, and, you know, you look at that conversation, President Zelensky had called President Trump to thank him for the leadership that he provided. In fact,
bullshit.
When Zelensky
bullshit.
Got elected, he said he modeled his campaign after President Trump.
Bullshit! He did no such thing. He called him because he wanted to know where those javelin weapons were, defense weapons, because Russia has been waging war with Ukraine for the last 8 years. He wanted those javelins. And Donald Trump said, well, I need you to do me a favor first. But Steve Scalise is lying because that's what they do.
And ultimately, he got the relief money that he was asking for. If you go back to when Joe Biden was vice president, he bragged about how he withheld $1 billion in aid to
Ukraine
when
Bullshit.
Joe Biden was vice president.
Oh, my God.
Because
okay.
he said he wanted a prosecutor
okay.
to get.
See, I can't. I can't even play it through because when they blatantly lie like that, I can't hold my tongue. This should not be allowed to happen. They should not be allowed to lie like that. Yet they do. And they do it time and time and time again. It's just, you know, it's just wrong. Everything about it is wrong. All right, I'm trying to figure, do I play for you the entertaining comical video or do I play for you the really serious video? Anonymous has resurfaced. Anonymous is claiming to have taken down Russian media and says they're going to. So chat room, I know we've got a bit of a delay here, but I'm going to try to get an answer from you. Before we get to Howie Klein, would you rather hear the anonymous video to Putin or the song parody from Lauren Mayer? I just got a call from my mom. She's in the hospital with a pneumonia. I'm sorry. Trump, Putin, anonymous. Okay, let's do anonymous because we can. And we haven't heard from anonymous in a few years. You remember anonymous, right? Well, they're back.
World, this is a message to Vladimir Putin from anonymous. Mr. Putin, the ongoing invasion of Ukraine has shown that your regime has no respect for human rights or the self-determination of your neighbors. In the past several days, a full-scale invasion has commenced, civilian neighborhoods have been bombed, and innocent people have been killed. Refugees are fleeing the violence and the population is being forced into conscription by Ukrainian officials. This is an ugly situation all around, but you are the instigator. You have criticized the US military and NATO for their occupation and bombardment of the Middle East, which is certainly a fair criticism. But you have shown that you are no better than the imperialist governments that you criticize, and the whole world can see through your propaganda. Even the citizens that you are claiming to protect are entirely against the war and protesting across dozens of major cities in Russia. Your tyrannical response to the Russian anti-war protesters will only spark further unrest among the Russian people, who are suffering the consequences of your foolish actions. The sanctions will hurt your citizens far more than they will hurt you, which is why the sanctions are not a proper deterrent. Now, the most popular resistance will come from within. Turns that your ambitions for conquest are much greater than you are willing to admit. If you continue on this path, you will continue to lose support among Russian citizens, other countries around the world will refuse to cooperate with you, and you will face unprecedented cyber attacks from all corners of the world. Members of Anonymous have declared cyber war against your aggressive regime, with numerous government websites being taken offline in the past several days. A few downed websites is only the beginning, though.
Oh,
soon
yeah.
Soon you will feel the full wrath of the world's hackers, many of whom will likely reside from your home country. Your secrets may no longer be safe, and there is a chance that key components of your government's infrastructure could be hijacked. Now with the invasion of Ukraine, the previous invasions of Georgia and Crimea are starting to come into focus and show a clear strategy for Russia to recapture key areas that were once held by the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union failed many years ago and the world has not forgotten the brutality of that regime. The people of the world will resist you every step of the way. This is not a war that you can win regardless of how powerful you think you are. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. Expect us.
Yeah, baby. Bring it. And bring it now. We need to save the world. And I'm not kidding. All right. I could use a double Dirty Debbie today, please.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole Sandler, how are you?
I'm okay. I'd be a whole lot better if this fucking war wasn't going on. It's just insane. Watching the videos is truly disturbing. And I don't know if you know, I don't know if I told you last week, I have made contact. I've got a friend over there now. A woman that I met in this hostel when I called shortly after the invasion began. Well, she and her husband have now, they left Kyiv and they're in a remote village where thankfully it's quiet there. The bombs aren't falling. But she's calling back to Kyiv. Her hostel, her business, there are people still staying there. And she, the stories she's telling me are just heartbreaking. I mean, everything. It's like they came in and started bombing Burbank. You know? Yeah. It's just... And then seeing these members of Congress, you know, I'm kind of up in arms today about the lies. They lie about everything. I just played Steve Scalise from their press conference of, you know, earlier this week, when they just can't be honest and genuine about anything. They just have to embellish everything with lies.
Yes, they...
That's what politicians do, generally. Republicans are really worse than most.
I guess. So, yeah.
Are we going to talk specifically about Madison Cawthorn?
Of course. Yeah, so Madison Cawthorn is probably one of the more offensive members of the Republican caucus, though, you know, there's a lot of competition there. Again, there's something seriously wrong with this man. Oh, I need to play it on this computer so you can hear it. So I'm going to pull up the video. This video surfaced just, you know, a couple of days ago. And Madison Cawthorn, remember, people remember who he is. He's like 24 years old. I think
that's when he was elected. I think he's 26 now.
Oh, okay. Well, big difference. He acts like he's 12, so, you know, got that going for him.
That's right, he does. He actually does. He acts like he's 12. His wife, who was a, you know, a Russian spy, just divorced him, realized she couldn't get anything out of him. And he's very, very, very pro-Russian. He's a Trumpist. And he lied. I mean, talk about lies. It would be hard to imagine that anyone lies more than him. And as you said, that's quite the bar when you consider Trump. But he's just like Trump. He lies about everything. I mean, he actually lied about being accepted into the Naval Academy when there's proof that without a doubt he was rejected by the Naval Academy. He was in an accident. He lost the use of both of his legs and said that's the reason why he was rejected. Well, he was rejected long before the accident.
Right. And now he was just busted for driving without a license for the second time.
I think it's the third time, but you're right. He was busted again.
Amazing. But this, do you know where this was recorded? Where this video, it's like 9 seconds I'm about to play. He was obviously speaking with constituents, right?
I don't know. I just know it was played by a Raleigh radio station.
Okay. So there's a video. Let me just play it for you again. It's only nine seconds. So listen, because it goes by pretty quickly, and I guess we should be grateful for that. But here's what he said.
Remember that Zelensky is a thug. Remember the Ukrainian government is incredibly corrupt and it is incredibly evil and it has been pushing woke ideologies and really just a new woke world.
Zelensky is a thug, he said.
Right, that's what attracted me to it at first, was that thing about Zelensky being a thug. But then I started thinking about this part about woke ideology, that Ukraine is pushing woke ideology. What is that?
It means
what's the ideologies that they're pushing that are woke?
Equality for all people, you know, men, women, people of color. We're all, you know, that's woke. That's what they're trying to turn into a bad thing. You know, Me Too was part of the woke movement. You know, woke is I treat people how I want them to treat me. That's a woke person, but they have a problem with that.
The Ukraine is pushing wokeism.
No, Madison Cawthorn is insane. There's something wrong with him. That's what's going on here.
Exactly. That is exactly what's going on. He's not alone. You know, he was stupid enough to say it, but a lot of Republicans feel the same way. I believe that there were just a couple who voted against. Behind the scenes, he was very much against aid to Ukraine. But when it came down to a vote, it was Matt Rosendale from Montana voted against giving them any aid. And there was a guy from Kentucky, Thomas Massey, voted against it. There might have been one other, but little Cawthorn was too scared to do it. But you know, the story is already out on him. And I don't think that even his Republican constituents in Western North Carolina aren't going to appreciate this. The American public, including the Republican part of it, are very, very much against this kind of language putting down the Ukrainians right now.
But he's also being, you know, criticized by members of his own party. I think Miss Lindsey had a few choice words to say about him. And Lindsey Graham's another one who is... you know, my goodness, I think his head is not screwed on tight enough because it keeps spinning around. You know, he's the one who, after the insurrection, said, I'm done. I was with him. I'm not with him anymore. This is enough. We had enough to, you know, now going down to Mar-a-Lago to suck on the mushroom dick. And you know, now he also, Lindsey Graham is one of three Republicans who voted to confirm Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the D.C. Court of Appeals just less than a year ago. And now he's like, well, I don't think I'm going to vote for her for Supreme Court. You know, it's just the hypocrisy of these people is just sickening. But Lindsey's now, you know, bad-mouthing Cawthorn, so who knows?
Well, Lindsey Graham, one thing he could always be counted on is war. If there's any chance of a war, he's there.
Wow.
And, this whole thing with war and peace and Ukraine and Russia is a very, very fraught subject for conservatives and for progressives. I mean, I've been talking to progressives who are hysterical about it. I wrote a piece that just went up on my blog about, I ended with a story, the history of Neville Chamberlain and Winston Churchill. And the reason was because a lot of people didn't know anything about it. I mean, you know, you might assume that everyone knows everything about that, but you'd be assuming wrong. I mean, in fact, the thing that finally got me to put it up was a very good friend of mine, extremely smart, usually well-informed, went to a really good college and graduated from it. And, he kind of had a vague notion of who Neville Chamberlain is, but that was it, just a vague notion. He didn't understand the whole idea of appeasement and what and how Neville Chamberlain probably was one of the main causes of World War II because he tried to appease Hitler. Hitler, very much like Putin, said, well, all he wants to do is defend German speakers. That's all. And he demanded, I mean, he did a few other things too, but I'm going to take it up at where he demanded the Sudetenland. So the Sudetenland was German speaking, just like the eastern provinces of Ukraine are largely Russian speaking, and just the way Putin says, I just want to free this area. That's what Hitler was saying too. I'll let me free this area, and I won't ask you guys for anything else. And Neville Chamberlain went to Munich and had the what was called the Munich agreements with him, where Hitler said he wouldn't do anything against Czechoslovakia as long as he got the Sudetenland. 6 months later, his army rolled into Czechoslovakia, and although the Czechs were begging Britain and France to intercede on their behalf, they refused. And they thought, well, let's let Hitler take this. He had already taken Austria and the Rhineland. Let him take Czechoslovakia, and that'll be it, and he won't bother us anymore. Of course, that turned out to be not the case. And their historians say, if they would have stood up to Hitler when he rolled into the Rhineland, if the French would have like put up any kind of a fight and said no, that would have been the end of Hitler's career. Wow. The German generals who did not support that were ready to get rid of Hitler right on the spot, but they didn't. They just thought, well, let him take this and that'll be it. And then when he had the Anschluss with Austria, it was the same thing. They could have stopped him right then and there. They didn't. And then the Sudetenland, and they didn't. And then taking over all of Czechoslovakia, and they didn't. And finally, he attacks Poland, where they had made an agreement that if Poland is attacked, they would come to their aid. And then it took the Brits 8 months, 8 full months before they actually started fighting with Germany. And guess what? They didn't start until they got rid of Chamberlain.
Wow.
So anyway, that is a very similar story to what we see happening with Putin now, where Putin is saying, just let me take the Donbass area where they speak Russian anyway, after he already did this with Crimea. Right. Just let me take that, and I won't do anything else to Ukraine.
Right.
But that's obviously a lie.
Of course.
He plans to take Ukraine, and it slipped a few times where he said he's going to unite with Ukraine again. Terrible of the Americans and our allies to let they're afraid. They're afraid. They don't want a wider war, so they won't give him the weapons that he could. They won't give Zelensky the weapons that he needs. And I've been talking to members of Congress and who have shocked me with their complacency. And shock me with their, and I'm not talking about Republicans. I'm talking about Democrats, who, they will certainly give Ukraine away to prevent a war, and he knows that.
Yeah, so
Putin knows that.
I'm glad you brought this up because I went on a bit of a rant yesterday. I can't believe we, as a people, as a country, as a human race, are sitting back and watching this madman systematically murder the Ukrainians, drive them from their homes, bomb maternity hospitals, and just let him do, because what, they're afraid he's going to fire a nuke? So he wouldn't if we don't directly engage in combat? Bullshit. He'll do it the minute he feels threatened, whether we get involved or not. The one thing we could do is get in there and stop the slaughter of millions of innocent people.
Right. So there are progressives who are very, very opposed to going to war with him. I'm sure you know that.
I do.
I'm sure some of the listeners are among them who are saying, I got a comment on Twitter the other day saying, the only war, I don't remember the exact words, but basically it was, the only war I back is class war.
What?
Which I doubt that he really backed anyway, except as a theory. But, you know, if you let Putin just take Ukraine,
then
what's
he'll,
next?
Right. Next.
The Baltic states.
Exactly.
Which are NATO states.
Of course.
And I hear people saying, well, we're not going to war with those three little puny ex-parts of Russia. All right. Well, when he attacks Poland, I mean,
right.
You know, he certainly is planning to put the Russian Empire back together again.
Yeah, I know.
That's what he's doing.
I know.
And people can deny it, but it's what's happening.
Right.
So what kind of feedback are you getting from your listeners? I'd be very, very curious, because I'm getting mixed stuff.
Well, definitely mixed.
Where there are definitely people who are saying, you know, no war, and insinuating that anybody who wants to stand up or even arm the Ukrainians is a warmonger.
Yes, and I have not been getting a whole lot of that, and maybe it's because I've been very clear in my thinking. We cannot sit back and watch this man annihilate a people. This is genocide. And why? Because we're afraid? Because he's blackmailing us? Because he's got nukes? Well, if you think that, you know, us not engaging in hand-to-hand combat or us not allowing the Polish-Russian MiGs to the Ramstein Air Force Base to then turn it over to the Poles would keep Putin from launching a nuke? That, I'm sorry, you're very gullible. He'll do it the minute he feels that he has to. The minute he feels like he's losing. So are we going to let him win hopefully to appease him enough that he won't launch a nuke? That's a ridiculous
idea. I think that's what we're seeing.
Well, that's wrong because I'm watching these people being killed. The video, how anybody can watch any of the videos of what's going on over there and think, well, we got to keep them from firing nukes, so let bombs away. What?
In the middle 1930s, the biggest cause celeb among progressives in America was the Spanish Civil War. And tens of thousands of Americans went to Spain to fight fascism in Spain. And it was illegal, but they did it. Americans, Canadians, Brits, French, lots and lots and lots of progressives went down to Spain to fight against the fascists, Franco. And now progressives are saying, no, we can't go. I mean, I've literally... I don't watch a lot of TV, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. When I go upstairs in the morning to put on my shoes and socks, I turn the TV on and watch a little bit of MSNBC. And yesterday, that's what happened. I went upstairs. I would say I was watching for about 5 minutes in total. I broke down crying three times during the 5 minutes.
I believe it. I exchanged these messages with this woman, Tatiana, over there. And I'm constantly in tears, as is she. So I'm hearing from a person whose whole life has been upended because this crazy man wants her country. And I think back, and obviously I wasn't around back then, but as somebody who grew up Jewish, I know that the United States was not there at the beginning of World War II, that it took a lot of... pushing and prodding and teeth pulling to get the U.S. to stand up and say, all right, we need to save the Jews, to even let them in this country.
It wasn't pushing and prodding. We were attacked.
Well, hello. Yes. And it took that until we finally said, okay, I guess we're in it now. Instead of doing the right thing for people. But you know what? This is going on in other places. Saudi Arabia has been waging war on Yemen, and we've been conveniently looking the other way. This goes on.
Oh, well, I don't know about looking the other way. I mean, we've been providing Saudi Arabia with the weapons that they need.
Oh, great. So we're complicit in it. Instead of helping
the people
in Yemen, we're complicit in it. And, you know, to reward our government for their complicity, Salman bin Laden and the guy from UAE refused to talk to Biden. Seriously, they won't talk to him because they're talking to Putin.
Yep. Well, I hope
our people in our country remember that. I doubt they will.
They
but
won't,
it would be nice
because
if
they're
they did.
Sitting back and saying, oh, no, we can't fight. And look, I love Cori Bush and I love Ilhan Omar, but they both voted against cutting off the, you know, Russian oil supply, buying oil from them. You know, they voted alongside of Marge Q Green and some of those idiots.
Yep, I saw. Yep, I was going to write about that, saying, you know, it was just these seven traitors. And then I looked and it was more than seven. There were also some progressives
in
there, too.
Two.
Sadly.
It's Ilhan Omar and Cori Bush. And I suggest, you know, they rethink their position there because they both lost me now. You know, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but that's not okay. Again, now I feel like I've got a friend over there. I can put a human face on this. And when I didn't hear from my friend for the better part of a day, I got really worried. And she wrote back and she just said, what she said was, I can't. She said, I feel helpless. I'm safe for now, but my life has stopped. I'm interested in the lives of the people who did not have time to escape. And every day is a new test. So it's just, it's horrific. All right, David's here. David, you have a burning comment.
I don't have a burning comment, but what I want to do is tie what you said at the beginning of the program about lying and deception in with what Howie was talking about in regard to when Germany invaded Poland.
Yep.
When Germany invaded Poland, what they did was they took two prisoners that were in a camp, a concentration camp in Germany. They killed them. They shot them. Put them in Polish uniforms, brought them into German territory and said that they had attempted to take over a German radio station. And because of that, it justified their invasion of Poland. Does any of this sound familiar?
Yeah, this
is very similar to the tactics that Mr., as you called him, Teeny Weeny Peeny is using.
Yeah. Well, you do know that,
right.
Howie.
That's... And fortunately, Biden, who has some kind of inside information that, you know, where he's calling every shot that Putin takes, has been exposing these kind of lies. All he exposes them before Putin can use them.
Well, we need to keep exposing them, and you know, shame on the Americans who are, you know, carrying their water. Tucker Carlson, you know, he praises Putin.
They're in Russia right now.
I'm sure he is because he's a propagandist. And, you know, then when the walls are closing in on him, he's like, oh, why would people say that I am backing Putin? I am for Ukraine. And then he turns around and does it again. And people buy into this shit. It's just like Donald Trump, the biggest con man ever known to this nation.
Yep, and now Madison Cawthorn thinks that that's where his bread is buttered as well.
Yeah, well, because he's gonna, you know, he's gonna follow him around like a puppy dog. So I'm looking in the chat room, and there are some people who are pushing back. Like Louis says, you don't invite nuclear war based on emotive war videos. That's not what this is about at all. Do you for a moment believe that, oh, if we hold back and we don't try to defend innocent people who are being slaughtered by the, there are mass graves in the town where the maternity hospital was. If we don't do anything, we stand back and let this happen, that's going to stop him from using a nuclear weapon? The minute.
What Lewis is trying to say, though, is that In the fog of war, it's very, very hard to know who's telling the truth and who's lying. And that's why he mentioned videos, because we don't know what videos are real, what videos are fake. I mean, and everything gets confused. I spoke with a congresswoman last night who said that she thinks it's all lies, that there are no... there are no, you know, huge numbers of casualties. That's all like that's all being made up as propaganda.
An American congresswoman said this to you?
A progressive Democrat said it to me and said that, the numbers that we're hearing about, you know, the Ukrainians valiantly fighting the Russians and downing planes and killing thousands of Russians, that it's all, those are all lies and none of it's true.
Okay, I have to ask you who this is.
Well, I promised her I wouldn't expose her, that she wouldn't speak to me if I told her I would.
Okay, well then, I you know, I don't want to support whoever this person is.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you don't. She's. I'm hoping that we can bring her along, but she was, pretty adamant in her own opinion. I mean, it started off as a conversation about the planes. You know, I was asking her why we don't give planes to the Ukrainians. Why we're stopping this Polish MiG thing. And I don't even like the idea of giving them old Polish MiGs. I'm saying, why don't we give them the kind of stuff that we give Israel? The state-of-the-art stuff that can really, like, blow the Russians out of the sky. And, at first, she was being very reasonable, or relatively reasonable, by saying that, that we're afraid that if we give them this kind of technology, the Russians will wind up getting it. They'll shoot a plane down, and they'll reverse engineer the stealth technology, which they don't have at this point.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, the reason that we're not giving them...
That was her being reasonable.
Wow.
Then it really got crazy after that, where it was about, claiming that the Ukrainians aren't using their Air Force as is. They're not shooting any Russian planes down. That's all propaganda. It's not true. Now, she didn't claim that she had any inside info. This is just her own instincts talking.
Wow. I'm astounded. I'm obviously speechless. I am stunned.
I was when I was hearing it. I was whoa. because I've talked to her for years and I've never heard this before.
Oh my God. Now I'm like rethinking everything because nothing makes sense anymore. I'm going to have to get it out of you, like off the record, promise that I will not say anything. But I personally, if this is her belief, why doesn't she say it out loud? Is she not proud of her opinion?
I guess she's afraid, politically afraid. I'm not sure. I didn't ask her why she doesn't say it out loud.
Yeah, because that's the thing. If he's, if she's this is how she feels, but she won't say it out loud, that's a problem too.
We're not allowing that. You know, we nixed that deal of giving those planes.
I know.
That's why I called her.
Wow. Yeah, when I heard that it was, and the reason that we're not sending them, ostensibly the reason, the U.S. American-made planes is because they're not trained on them. The Ukrainians are trained on those old Russian MiGs, so they can just get in them and fly and do what they need to do. That's why that deal seemed so perfect. It made so much sense until the Pentagon said, oh, no, that's just not tenable for us. Why? Yeah. Because you're taking sides? Yes, take sides. This is a madman who is slaughtering an entire nation of people because he's a fucking megalomaniac. So, I don't often...
Right, but that's also what I brought that up to her, and she said it's not true, that there are very, very few casualties.
Oh, my God. Who is she getting her intelligence from?
God knows. I was reading her intelligence reports, public intelligence reports, and she was saying none of them are true.
Oh, my God. And you're saying this is a progressive. I mean, people in the chat room are trying to guess, and someone's like, Klobuchar? Klobuchar's not a progressive.
No,
so
she's not a progressive,
not
and I don't talk to Klobuchar.
Right, I know, right. That much I know. I'm just astounded. Again, I wish I could share with her my back and forth with my friend Tatiana. The last two messages I got from her today say, Tatiana, our task is to speak. The world will hear. Thank you for your participation. You do not understand how much you're doing for us. God's with us. And then I wrote back to her because I feel helpless. I want to do something. All I can do is scream. And she said, my family and I thank everyone and believe in the power of good thought. Today, for some reason, I promised my aunt that in 3 months we will meet at her place. At this time, the cherry will ripen. And she wrote, oh, my dear, a strong woman, we can only scream for help. The main thing is that more people would be safe. Therefore, I'm talking as much as possible. Who can leave if possible? Everyone can leave Kyiv. The city will be destroyed. I'm not sure where I will return, but the life of my relatives is now more expensive. And she said, I'm helpless. I feel helpless. She said, my aunt near Kherson was without gas for 13 days, which means a cold house. And on the street, 10 degrees. There's no way to cook food. She grows vegetables. So she has a greenhouse in the city. They drowned it. And she slept on the ground. And when the rockets flew, they fled to the basement. They now only have Russian television, but she does not watch it. She says that she will wait for us, and we will open an old bottle of wine and celebrate the victory. And I put down the phone, and I burst into tears.
Yeah.
This is war. This is the reality. And shame on anyone. What is she watching, Fox? The propaganda. We got to start telling the truth.
Yep.
Oh, my God. All right. Howie Klein, find him down.
Whose side is Bush on this?
I have no idea.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean Bush. I meant whose side is Biden on?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
He seems to be doing the right thing at first. I mean, you know, getting all the allies together and getting that.
He did great at first, and he released
sanctions.
All the intelligence so that we knew what they were planning.
Yeah. He ain't doing anything.
Yeah, I know. I know. And look, if it's they're not doing anything as a deterrent to Putin, that's only empowering him because he thinks he's got the world over a whatever the saying goes, over a barrel or however it goes. Right.
You can say this to progressives, and they'll say that you're a warmonger.
Wow.
So
well,
not at all.
I guess I'm a warmonger. I'm. I now have a friend.
You've always kind of been a warmonger. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Shit. All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to laugh on this program. We have a comedian coming on. Because I just, this is all I can take. I can't do this. It's
very hard to laugh. Especially about any of this stuff. It's really hard to laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that Saturday Night Live opening this week, you know, yeah, it was really good. But, you know, I just don't know. Can you laugh about this?
No.
I mean, I can cry about it.
Yes. Oh, and we have been. In fact, on today's show card, you know, I make up a little graphic each day. And for you on Thursdays, it's usually the same. It's the picture of you behind the podium at the People for the American Way event with your pointing at something. And off to the side, I usually have the Down with Tyranny logo on top of the Blue America logo. But today I replaced the Down with Tyranny logo with this piece of art, street art, that someone did in Cardiff in the UK. And it was on like a warehouse garage door surrounded by graffiti, and it's a blue eye with a tear coming down. Yeah, the top is in blue and the bottom is in yellow, and it's just in this case a picture does say 1,000 words. It says so much. That's where we are. We need to be a compassionate world, and we need to not let this madman control it. You know, I think back at Trump. And if Trump were still in office, he'd be siding with Putin now, just like he did with the Kurds in Syria and Turkey. And he let Erdogan, invade territory held by our allies, the people who fought beside us for years. And Trump said, fuck them. They're not. I'll suck up to my Turkish friend Erdogan here. I'm beside myself. So, Biden after of starting World War III and nukes. Okay. You know, it's already World War III. We're involved, whether we're actively shooting bullets or not, we are involved. And there will come the day when Putin decides he's going to hit Poland next or Slovakia or you name it. That is in
Lithuania, Estonia.
Hello.
You know, that's where he's going.
Of course. And what? So they're in NATO. So now all of a sudden we have the responsibility to react and step in. Let me say, I don't care if Ukraine is in NATO or not. These are human beings who were living a normal civilized life 2 weeks ago. And now they're being slaughtered. And how we can stand back as a nation, as a people, as fellow human beings, and just let this happen? I can't. That's not me. So, oh, God. You know, 2022 is 2022. 2020 never ended. This decade is just fucked. Howie Klein. I'd say always a pleasure. Today wasn't really a pleasure, but we said things that needed to be said, and I'm glad we seem to be on the same page, too.
Yeah, we are.
Good.
And not all of our colleagues are.
I know. Oh, well. Then my opinion of them has lessened.
Stop war. I think, the way that they want to stop war by appeasing a tyrant is not the way you stop war.
No, I know.
Like I said, a lot of people never got the message of Chamberlain and the Sudetenland. They just right over their heads, or they never heard of it, or they don't teach it in school, or people don't pay attention when they teach it in school.
Yep. No, I hear you. And, the old poem, I guess I need to pull it up and read it tomorrow. The first they came for the such and such, and I wasn't a such and such. Well, hello, we're living that again. History repeats itself. Go listen to the Propeller Heads featuring Shirley Bassey. History repeating. If I wouldn't get copyright violated, I'd play it to end the show. Oh, Howie Klein, I will talk to you next week if we're all still standing.
Oh, God. Let's hope. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Howie. Bye. Sorry to be so blunt, but I'm always going to speak the truth to you. Unlike so many in politics, apparently on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. The right doesn't hold a monopoly on lying anymore. They're just better at it. I got to find out who this so-called progressive is, because I'm pissed. All right, I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll hopefully try to end the week with a laugh. It may be gallows humor, but we'll try to laugh. And keep Tatiana and her family and friends in your heart, okay? All right, I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We are looking for your help, for the help of the civilized countries. We are thankful for this help. And
That's yesterday's news. Let me play today's news. Sorry about that. Here we go. Today's news.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A Russian airstrike targeted and hit a maternity hospital in the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol on Wednesday, killing three people and wounding at least 17. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called the airstrike an atrocity and tweeted that there were people, children, under the wreckage. The World Health Organization said it has verified 18 attacks on health facilities, health workers, and ambulances since Russia invaded Ukraine 2 weeks ago. This latest attack came as Western governments warned that Russia was preparing to escalate its attacks on Ukrainian cities, hoping to give thousands of civilians the chance to flee several cities, including Mariupol in the south, and heavily bombarded towns around Kyiv. But on Thursday morning, we awoke to reports that the Russians were bombing one of those so-called humanitarian corridors, filled with people just trying to escape the brutal attack from the Russians. As for diplomacy, the foreign ministers of Russia and Ukraine met in Turkey on Thursday in the first high-level talks since Russia invaded Ukraine 2 weeks ago. But the talks began as Russia was intensifying its shelling of Ukrainian cities and accusing the U.S. of waging economic war with its sanctions. Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov and Ukraine's foreign minister Dmytro Kuleba spoke for about an hour and a half, but reportedly made no progress on establishing a ceasefire or safe passage for civilians trying to flee. It seems there are other decision makers on this matter in Russia, Kuleba said, suggesting that Lavrov was not in a position to broker the ceasefire personally. There's also growing concern about the site of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. On Wednesday, Ukraine said that electricity had been cut off at the plant, creating the danger of a radiation leak. A high-voltage power line was damaged in the fighting between Ukrainian and Russian forces, disconnecting the now out-of-commission plant from the national power grid. The United Nations nuclear watchdog said it detected no critical impact on security. Phew. So he dodged that huge bullet, but really only temporarily. Ukraine is demanding a ceasefire so repairs could be made, saying that radiation could be released if power isn't available to cool the spent nuclear fuel stored there. Remember, Chernobyl is the scene of the world's worst nuclear accident in 1986.
Foreign Minister Kuleba said that reserve diesel generators could keep the power on for 48 hours. So we got that going for us. Meanwhile, Russia's economy is collapsing. They face imminent risk of defaulting on its debts as Western sanctions imposed kick in, and the Ukrainian invasion has derailed Putin's access to the money that Russia needs to make its payments. Russia's credit on Wednesday was downgraded to C or junk status, and Fitch Ratings warned investors that Moscow was getting perilously close to being unable to make payments to its creditors. So the downgrades serve as a warning to investors to stay away and avoid being affected by the sanctions. But a likely default would have far broader consequences, making risk-tolerant lenders reluctant to provide the high-risk loans developing international markets depend on. Russia's dictator, Putin, could force lenders in some countries to accept payment in rubles, but that could further devalue the Russian currency, which is now worth less than a U.S. penny. Well, so much for ongoing COVID relief, but at least the government won't be shutting down tomorrow. The House on Wednesday passed a massive $1.5 trillion spending bill after Democrats removed $15.6 billion in emergency pandemic response aid. President Biden wanted it, but the Republicans opposed the funding. The bill does include $13.6 billion in aid to Ukraine and U.S. allies in Europe, both parties claiming partial victories. Democrats got a $46 billion increase in domestic spending. Republicans got extra defense spending. Some Democrats were upset about the removal of the pandemic funding, but Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the compromise was necessary to get the deal done on time to prevent government agencies from running out of money on Friday and shutting down. Senate approval is expected by the end of the week. Meanwhile, the House also passed a short-term funding measure to keep the government funded past Friday night, just in case. That's meant to give the larger spending package time to pass the Senate, which is unlikely to happen by Friday. Well, another update from Florida, where Republicans handed the governor another legislative victory on Wednesday when they approved creating a standalone election police force designed to crack down on voter fraud, of which there is zero evidence in Florida. DeSantis proposed the special unit to tackle election crimes as he came under pressure from some Republicans to do a full-blown audit of the 2020 election, even though the former guy had little trouble winning the state and there were no widespread issues with fraudulent voting. Fascism. Here we come. And finally, on Sunday, people in most parts of the country will set their clocks ahead 1 hour, spring forward, so it'll stay lighter later. A temporary seasonal change that'll fall back on November 6th. But more than 40 states, including Maryland, are considering ending the time warp. The House Energy and Commerce Committee's Subcommittee on Consumer Protection on Wednesday debated whether to end the spring forward and fall back daylight savings policy, citing the health effects of shifting the clock twice a year. Most agreed that it was about time. Whoops, I closed the wrong window. So that's just a bit of what's new. And they didn't agree on anything. So daylight savings time, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Here we go again. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com and please click on that donate button. See you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.